The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Not even time to say how you doing, handsome, because the 2017 season has come to an end. The Red Sox lose 5-4. You start off, Rich. What are your comments? And then Brady will give his thoughts.
Well, most of the things I've been saying for the last hour couldn't possibly ever get on the radio.
No, you couldn't say that.
I mean, obviously a frustrating finish and just the... To me, what it came down to, there was a couple of crappy calls by the ump, but for me, it was not being able to capitalize early on. They should have scored 7 runs in the first 4 innings of this game.
They had the bases loaded with nobody out in the second. Yeah,
I just want to play this. I just want to play sad goodbye song.
Wow,
that's all I want to play though. That's all I want to do.
We're taking requests.
I know, it was weird as we're listening to the post game show. It's like, well, that's it. And I like the comment Joe Castiglione made about on to the fall, and that's it.
Well, as you said, being unable to capitalize early, you load the bases. I want to say at one point the Red Sox had 8 base runners and had scored 1 run, and that's just unacceptable for a big league baseball team. Look. As hard as baseball is, as much nuance as there is, as much intricacy as there is, there's 3 things that you have to do. And if you do those things on a consistent basis, you can capitalize and win games. Throw strikes, make routine plays, and get timely hitting. And the Sox didn't do all 3 of those today.
You know what's the old adage? They're limping to the finish line. That if there ever was a truer statement, it was for the Boston Red Sox to finish out the 2017. They came in limping to the finish line.
And was this a carbon copy of 2016? I mean, same record, same thing in the playoffs, just a different opponent, same result, and it's on to next year. If we're looking for a GOAT in this game, and I know nowadays GOAT means something good, I absolutely mean GOAT in a bad way. Dustin Pedroia goes 0-for-5 and basically just hangs his manager out to dry in an elimination game by arguing balls and strikes so vociferously that it forces his manager to come out of the dugout and be thrown out of the game.
Brady, what are you thinking when what are you pop? Because I'm yelling, he's going to get thrown out. And the umpire purposely turned around, started to walk away. And you know what happens after that when you continue after him dropping F-bombs. And that's what he did.
I've been saying this for the better part of the second half of the year. Things are going to get awkward for the Red Sox, their fans, and Dustin Pedroia. There might be, outside of David Ortiz, there may be no person more beloved in the Red Sox nation over the last decade than Dustin Pedroia. Yeah. David Ortiz is number 1, but Dustin Pedroia is number 2. And Dustin Pedroia, he represents all the things about Boston that everybody loves, right? Tough, hard-nosed, came from nowhere, undersized, little guy, underdog. He embodies all of that, so people love him. But his body is starting to break down. He's on the DL 3 times this year. His knees aren't good right now. He's a 239 hitter in the playoffs coming into today, and that you put an 0-for-5 on top of that. Since 2008, I think he's had 1 playoff year over even 250. He has struggled. It's only going to get worse, and I think it could get ugly.
How many years does he have left?
He's got 4 years left. He signed through 2022.
My thing is this. I don't think he's going to make the 4 years.
Might be 5. He signed through 2022.
I think you told me 5, because I was more amazed through that. My question is this. He's not going to make it through the 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is. If you know you're going to get a divorce, wouldn't you rather get divorced sooner than later? Why drag this out? Because if he's not going to, why drag it out 2-3 years from now when it really isn't going to do anybody any good?
But go ahead, Pedroia, of all people, is going to want to drag it out because he's just that kind of dirt dog mentality that says, I'm not ever quitting. You're going to have to drag my dead cold body out of Fenway Park.
But, I mean,
if there's anyone on the Red Sox roster that's that guy, it's him.
He becomes a free agent in 2022. So he's got 2018, 19, 20, and 21. So he's got 4 years left.
Okay.
And he's making $16, $15, $13, and $12 million. So the money does get more favorable on the back end, but you talk about getting a divorce and all that. Someone's going to have to be willing to take that money. And the other thing I look at it from this standpoint is this. As much as you might want to start thinking about life after Dustin Pedroia, you don't have anybody to replace Dustin Pedroia. Devers was your only infielder coming up, and he's already in at third base. You traded Moncada. You traded those infielders to go get Thornburg. You don't have a young infielder.
Look, it's a short show today, and I know we want to start talking about next year and who to get rid of. I just have to ask you one simple question, and to me this was the big part of the game. We were looking at it. The fan interference wasn't really a fan interference. It was the ball girl that touched the ball, and they gave him first base. They didn't give him a double, so everything was okay there. Why were they not allowed to review that? Because Rich and I both thought it was foul. It bounced before the bag, fair, but when it went over, Brady, it went over foul. Their excuse,
did it cross the bag
fair?
No,
it, didn't. No, it never bounced before the bag.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Okay. It did bounce. And John Paul Morosi said the reason it wasn't reviewable was because that the umpire was standing in front watching the play. I never heard a bunch of crap like that before. I don't know how that plays into a factor. You could review that. That might not even be a hit, but I know we're going back if, what, and other. I just didn't understand what the hell happened.
And the fact that they only got a single out of that was the
right
call.
I understand.
Because there's
that.
No way with Gattis' speed. And plus, he pinch ran Maben, who eventually came around to score anyway. But
The big questions in this game, and we're not going to have a whole lot of time to get into them today. We can start to think about all this tomorrow. Is one, was Sale left in too long? Should he have started the eighth inning against all those right-handed batters at the top of the order? That's number one. Two is, what was up with Kimbrel and the fact that you come in, you throw a wild pitch, you walk a guy, and then you give up a hit on a great at-bat by Reddick? I mean, those are the problems, coupled with the inability to capitalize early. And four is the weather. The weather never became – we were talking about this game maybe getting rained out. We're talking about it getting started and suspended, multiple rain delays. Did the weather have anything to do with it? Because it was raining early. I don't know if that messed with anyone's psyche at all.
What I'm concerned about the most is I look at the Town Fair Tire text line, we've not gotten one text. Are Red Sox fans okay? Usually, when we give out gifts and prizes and everything, we get like 52 to 53 million people texting, calling in, like we're giving away $100 bills. Silent. Crickets, Rich. Crickets. Nobody around.
Yeah, just to answer your first part, I had no, and Arnie will attest to this because I was all over it during the show, during the game. Don't take Sale out. When Sale is on, is there a better pitcher in baseball? Maybe Kluber when he's on. But Sale had it going today. He'd gone four innings, two hits, no runs, no walks. He'd struck out six. It was that Chris Sale. He'd thrown 65 pitches. I had no problem with the way they handled him today.
Eric and Fletcher said confidence level on Pedroia very low. And Kimbrel pitched horrible. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 2017 season. We'll get ready for a Champlain Valley game night right here. You are in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? It's a Monday. It's not a happy Monday for anybody. Red Sox are... well, they're done. The Giants, they're still playing, but they're done too. All that here on Champlain Valley Game Night. You are on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. Look, I have a lot of thoughts about what needs to happen next for Boston, about what should happen with John Farrell. I've got thoughts on a big local story. A lot of that's going to be saved for tomorrow because it's just not fair to get into such hearty topics with 25 minutes to break them down. That said, you want to get in on the Red Sox game, get in on the TikTok Jewelers guest line or the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. The Red Sox season is over. Sox lose 5-4. Boston went at Houston with their best. They put out their best lineup that was healthy. Eduardo Nunez obviously didn't play since injuring his knee again in game one. Chris Sale in relief with a heroic effort. I know he technically is the guy who gets the loss in this one, but it doesn't feel like that should be the case. I mean, 4-plus innings in relief on 3 days' rest, that's a heroic effort right there, and he's going to fall to 0-2 in the postseason, and people are going to say, oh, look what you did in the playoffs, but this game, at least, is not a fair way to look at it. As for the rest of the team didn't capitalize, and that's not Chris Sale's fault, and that's not all Dustin Pedroia's fault either, but a lot of thoughts on where the Sox go from here, on what they need, on what that nucleus looks like, on where they go from here, which free agents are available, what possible trades are out there. Who can they cut bait with? Who should they cut bait with? A lot of that is able to go on throughout this week and throughout the coming months, because we've got 4 months now until spring training rolls around again in February. And it's a sad day when baseball ends, and baseball itself is not over, but baseball for a lot of you ended today. And you know, you heard Tim Nevert sign off after, and he read the kind of cliche poem about baseball. He's right, though. We love baseball because it comes when everything else is starting to bloom and the weather starts to turn and we start to feel better as a society going towards spring. It takes us through the summer. It gets us through every single night of the summer. And then in the fall, it leaves us at a dreary time of the year when you're left to face it alone. And when baseball ends, it's just, you just feel an emptiness. And if you're a fan of the game, if you're a fan of sports, you know, you just feel a little bit more hollow inside right now than you did an hour and a half ago. Knowing that baseball, you might not watch every single game, but knowing that baseball's there is just a comforting feeling. The Patriots didn't play yesterday. We all have the Pats still. We all have the Celtics. We all have the Bruins. We all have our teams. But without baseball, there's just an emptiness. And you know, my reaction to the game as a whole is this played out like we thought it would, right? Even though the Red Sox had a lead, the Astros are the better team. That lineup does not give an inch, and you saw that again today. The Red Sox went at them with Sale and Kimbrel. If you said, I'm going to lose a game to end the season, I want it with my best. And you saw Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrel get a chance today, and that lineup was just too good. That lineup has been built, has been constructed. And it is in an era where batting averages are down and the speed game is down. The Astros play it. The Astros play both, and they play both very, very well. They 1-9 in that lineup, right-handed, left-handed, switch hitter, run, wear you down, tire you out. How about the 8-pitch at-bat by Josh Reddick against Craig Kimbrel, who I think has been, you know, one of the most valuable pieces to the Red Sox success this season. It just didn't work out today, and I don't think that today's game was so much a choke job. I don't think that this series was a choke job as much as it is this team has deficiencies, and this team that doesn't hit for power, this team that didn't have reliable depth in the starting rotation, really, this team that had to battle and overcome injuries and wasn't able to do it for certain parts of the year, this team that in some places is too young, this team that in some places is too old. There's too many things here to blame it on one person. There's too many things to say that it's John Farrell's fault from my perspective. There's too many things going on here to say it's Dustin Pedroia's fault. The one thing that I know I can tell you today that I don't have to think about overnight is this Red Sox team, as good as it was, I didn't feel a connection with them. And I know people will say, oh, Brady, that's because you're a Mariners fan. And that's true. I'm not predisposed to have a relationship with the Red Sox, but I bought in and was invested with all of you for 6 months now, for 8 months, since the end of last season, for a year. I mean, I didn't feel a connection with this team. Outside of the win, dance, repeat stuff at the end of wins, this team was wholly unlikable. Pedroia, you know, sells his teammates out in Baltimore earlier in the year, struggles in the playoffs. Gets, you know, could have been ejected, injured multiple times, contentious at times, Price contentious with Eckersley, contentious with the media, also injured. You just didn't feel, Bogart struggled, Betts struggled, you just didn't feel a connection to this team. So the season's over and you feel empty, but this cannot hurt like it's hurt in years past. This team, I think, could benefit again from the time off. This is a team that needs the time off. The Red Sox have to get back to the drawing board and figure out the formula of what works for them. And right now, they just don't have it. No power and no, not enough depth. I think as this team moves forward, there needs to be a conscientious effort to rebuild the minor league system. Because that's what the good teams do. Look at what Cleveland's done. Look at what Houston's done. Look at what the Yankees have done. Minor league system, minor league influx, young talent, guys that are able to take over for aging veterans. Red Sox don't have that right now. They have who they have, and when those guys go down, they're sunk. And I think that speaks to a bigger issue here. And I don't think in this offseason, you can really point to the Red Sox and say, go out and make a big move. They can't do that. They don't have the resources to do that, and doing so would not be the smart play. More on that, though, as we move through tomorrow, as we move through the next day and the next month. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Again, the Yankees will have the coverage for you at 6:30. We'll be off the air at 6:25 as we get you ready for Game 4 between the Indians and the Yanks. Man, yesterday, just a bad day for the Giants. And yes, they lost, and yes, they blew a fourth quarter lead. And if you're a Giant fan, you want to get in there, let us know. 802-655-6672. We do have a text first. Doug in Swanton says, here's my thoughts on the Red Sox game. Two called strikeouts on Bradley and Pedroia were borderline pitches, but they needed to swing at those pitches too close to take. Reddick is at bat, a great piece of hitting. Finally, the finality of losing the playoffs after a long season. That's Doug in Swanton. Jeff in Plattsburgh. Brady, if it was one game, I would be upset. It was a series, and the best team won. That's why there are 30 teams. Boston made it to the first round, 162 games in 1 year. No reason to be bummed out. And Jeff, I am with you as well. I think I agree with you as well. By and large, fans shouldn't be too disappointed that the season ended, because this played out like it was supposed to. You were supposed to win the East. You weren't supposed to be as good as Houston. You weren't supposed to be as good as Cleveland. If you had lost to the Yankees, then there would have been real disappointment, because that's a team you were supposed to be better than. I'm more disappointed in the way the season ended, because it felt like it was taken from you a little bit. You didn't have your best shot at it. We kind of accept that in football, right? We know that the Super Bowl oftentimes is not even the best team wins. It's the healthiest team wins. But in baseball, we that's not something that we really think about. So not being able to have David Price as a starter, we didn't get to see that. Not being able to have Eduardo Nunez play, we didn't get to see that. Pedroia not at full strength, we didn't see that. So it feels like Betts not at full strength. Bogart's not at full strength. So it kind of takes – it feels like the opportunity to be what you could have been was taken from you. But it exposed some organizational flaws. And when I come back on the air tomorrow, and when the Huddle comes back on the air tomorrow, we'll start to talk about recap this season and start to look forward to next season. And the big tenet of my argument is going to be, look at the teams that are in the playoffs. The Dodgers have won, by and large, with organizational talent that they've homegrown, or guys that they went and got in deals that weren't big. I mean, you talk about Kershaw. Homegrown. Hyun-Jin Ryu throughout the season, signed, internationally signed. Corey Seager, drafted. Cody Bellinger, drafted. I mean, those guys, those are homegrown players. Go and look at Arizona. Paul Goldschmidt, AJ Pollock. Those guys are homegrown players. And the Red Sox have that too. When you talk about Betts and Bogarts and Benintendi and Bradley, they have it, but you need more of it. And you need another crop of it. You need more influx of it. So that when Betts, Bradley, Benintendi are 27 years old, 25 years old, 26 years old, you've got another wave of players. This is the time where you need to start to draft and develop, or sign and develop internationally, a young infielder that can come up in 2-3 years and be there for Dustin Pedroia, because he's on the way out. His career is trending downwards, and maybe he won't be off the roster, but he won't be Dustin Pedroia again, at least as my money says. 300 hitter when healthy, but how often is he healthy? Played 100 games this year. Will it be less next year? Who knows? So there's organizational flaws exposed. We've got a guy who didn't put his name on the text, but he says, Petey wasn't the leader we needed him to be. There's a lot of hope for the future, but need power in the lineup and replacements in the latter half of the rotation. You know, I've heard the Mariners talk about this, and, say that for what it's worth. It's the Wolfpack mentality on the mound. You need that. You're going to need the days of you getting through a season with five guys over. You're going to need 12 guys. You're going to need 14 capable arms. And the Red Sox didn't really have that. I mean, Doug Fister did a serviceable job. Brian Johnson, back in May, threw one great game, serviceable job at times. You lose Steven Wright. Eduardo Rodriguez was up and down. You're going to need 10 guys next year that can be serviceable major league arms. You're going to need some real quality backup pieces that can spell Pedroia and can spell Bogarts, because these guys that got tired and run into the ground, they just weren't able to overcome injuries and get themselves right. That's going to be the things that you need moving forward. Do I think Pedroia wasn't the leader the team needed? Do I think he failed? In a way, yes. I remember saying that at the beginning of the year that the big question I had was, could Dustin Pedroia be a leader that this team needed? And I don't think that he was. I think Dustin Pedroia is a lead by example guy, but I think this team needed a vocal guy somewhere down the line. I don't know that Dustin Pedroia was really able, not even able, willing to be that guy. Again, it's Champlain Valley game night, going up until 6:25, and then it's Yankee baseball against the Indians. Again, we started to talk about the Giants, and if you are a Giant fan, your season's over too. The only difference is that they're still playing. So if you want to get in on this, you can certainly text in as well. And yesterday, look, I've got multiple things on the Giants also. Bottom line is, I feel bad for Odell Beckham Jr. There's a lot of guys out there that fans don't like. Fans, it's either love or hate, right? Richard Sherman, love or hate. You're going to love or hate that guy. Tom Brady, you're going to love or hate him. And a lot of it stems from jealousy. In most cases, if you don't like Richard Sherman, or if you don't like Tom Brady, it stems from you're just jealous that your team doesn't have them. And that, I've always felt that way. But Odell Beckham Jr. has a lot of detractors also. A lot of people that don't like him because of his antics on the field, his antics off the field, how he carries himself, what he, you know, how he makes the team look in certain ways. But bottom line, I never want to see a guy get injured like that. I don't want to see a guy get injured at all. But the injury to Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday was gruesome. And it was gory. And you guys know by now, I have a weak stomach. I have a hard time looking at things like that. And to see Odell Beckham Jr.'s ankle get shattered is not anything that I want to go and watch again. What does it mean for the Giants? Well, it means the Giants are headed probably, well, let's see, they're 0-5 now. Maybe they were headed for 3-13 anyways. Maybe now they're headed for 1-15. I don't know, but this is going to get ugly. If you thought the Giants' offense was bad and inept with Odell Beckham Jr., just wait until you see it without him. I've seen it before, and it's not a pretty picture. We saw it week one against Dallas when Beckham didn't play. We saw it 2 years ago when Beckham was suspended after the Josh Norman nonsense, and the Giants went and scored, you know, 7 points or whatever against Minnesota in week 17. I mean, it's ugly. The Giants' offense is ugly. What does it mean for the team moving forward? Well, this is going to be a lot. If this team comes out and goes 2-14, maybe they get the number one pick. And does that mean you take a quarterback? And that ends Eli Manning's time in New York. Do they think Eli Manning has more left in the tank? And they trade that number one pick and get a bunch of draft picks out of it, and they can start to rebuild their organizational depth, as we just talked about the Red Sox doing. I don't know what that all means. But I know that this is going to have a very, very rippled effect. This is more so than just the team lost their best receiver. Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese could lose their jobs over a 3-13 season that's in largely built because Odell Beckham Jr. now is not there for, you know, 3/4 of it. You could get the number one pick. You could trade the number one pick. You could get what's going to happen with Beckham's contract. All of those things are interwoven. All of those questions are weaved into the Odell Beckham Jr. injury. And it was ugly yesterday, and it's not something that I think anybody is really rooting for. Champlain Valley game night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. A small story here that I just want to get to in passing. The Patriots, the playing surface at Gillette Stadium is now a real problem. Earlier in the year, Jeff in Plattsburgh tweets in, Brady, you did say who will step up after Big Poppy retired. No one really stepped up. And Jeff, I appreciate it. I think, you know, what I did say that. Who was going to step up? And I think there's a difference, right? You have to step up on the field. And I think I thought back in spring training that you could replace 38 homers and 100 RBIs. Maybe not one guy could do it, but a collection of guys can do it. Look, I was dead wrong. I thought Pablo Sandoval at the beginning of the year could step up. I thought he was going to be the American League Comeback Player of the Year. I did not think he would hit 38 home runs, but I thought he could hit 20 home runs and drive in 75 and do largely what Mitch Moreland did and be Comeback Player of the Year. And that would help alleviate the loss of David Ortiz. And then you throw that in with the addition of Mitch Moreland, with hopefully you hoped for a good season out of Hanley Ramirez, with more of what Andrew Benintendi could do, that it was not going to be a huge loss on the field for David Ortiz. Not as big as you thought. But you also, I had the question of who is going to replace David Ortiz as that clubhouse presence, and nobody did. And that's where Jeff reminds me that I was right. Nobody really did. This team that had so many issues during the season, the whole thing with Baltimore was ridiculous. The you know, who was out in front of the racial comments directed at Adam Jones from the player side? I didn't hear anybody other than Mookie Betts talking, and that's a 24-year-old at the time. 23-year-old at the time, just turned 24 yesterday or 2 days ago. So who was there to be that leader in the clubhouse? Who was there to be that vocal leader? Who was there to get David Price's grill and tell him he was acting, you know, infantile with Dennis Eckersley? Well, it wasn't Dustin Pedroia. He joined in on that, and it needed to be Dustin Pedroia. Dustin Pedroia has been the face of the program, face of the organization, along with Ortiz for a decade, and he didn't step up in that leadership role. And that was the biggest question that I had about this team. I thought this team would be fine on the field. And this team was fine on the field. It was all the other stuff off the field that was the real issue. And I said this about Joe Girardi last week. I said that Joe Girardi deserved to be praised by Yankee fans because basically who can do what Joe Girardi has done, right? Joe Girardi in 10 years has made the playoffs a bunch of times, won a World Series, had winning records, dealt with all the side drama of A-Rod, Chapman, Rivera, Pettit, Jeter. He's dealt with all of that. And he's still been successful. Well, look at what John Farrell did. All you Red Sox fans that are Fire Farrell, okay, that are hashtag Fire Farrell, all you Red Sox fans are think about this. This team did not have Drew Pomeranz at the beginning of the season. And we didn't think that was going to be a big deal at first. It ended up being a big deal because you saw how good Pomeranz was. Pomeranz was injured in spring training. You overcame some of that, but you still had worries about him all year. You didn't have David Price for most of the season in the role you anticipated. You didn't have Dustin Pedroia for most of the season. You saw, you know, the team get struck with a flu at the beginning of the year. You dealt with the Eckersley stuff off the field. You dealt with this with the stuff with Baltimore. You dealt with Sandoval getting released, injured, brought back, cut, designated for assignment, all of it. You dealt with all of that, and you still went 24 games over 500 and won the American League East. I don't think that you can just say, let's fire John Farrell. Glennon Monkton on the Town Fair Tire text line. Brady, you said his name. It's got to be Mookie and maybe Sale or Price as the guy that can step up here in the absence of David Ortiz and if Pedroia is not willing to do it. So I have a lot of – look, tomorrow's show, when we have a full – we'll have 3 hours between the Huddle and Champlain Valley game night to sink our teeth into this. There's questions about what the team does from here. What does it mean for Farrell? What does it mean for the contract situations of a Hanley and of a Pedroia, the guys that some of you want to run out of town? There's stuff on the Giants about where do they go from here. I'll tell you tomorrow about how, unfortunately, the Odell Beckham Jr. injury might end up being the best thing for the New York Giants. And it's really sad to be thinking that way. Local news, Tom Brennan, former UVM basketball coach, going to get the court at Patrick Gym named after him this season. So it'll be Tom Brennan Court at Patrick Gym, and that's going to happen on December 11th before a home game against Siena. So UVM men's basketball coach Tom Brennan to be forever immortalized on the floor at Patrick Gym. So got thoughts on that too. It's a big honor for Tom Brennan. It's a huge honor for Brennan. It's one that's deserved. He won 264 games and, you know, had 4 20-win seasons and a couple of tournament appearances and a tournament win and the biggest win in school history. It's absolutely deserved. But there's more to that story as well, that there's an aspect to that story, the feel-good story of Tom Brennan getting the court named after him. There's an aspect to that that I'm not really a huge fan of. And I'm going to tell you that tomorrow also. Good, exciting news for us here at 101.3 ESPN and Champlain Valley Game Night. Starting Wednesday, rather, we are going to have a weekly interview with ESPN fantasy football expert and ESPN injury expert Stefania Bell. She is going to join us weekly on CVGN at 6:05 every Wednesday to get up-to-the-minute news on fantasy football, on injuries around the league as well. So that's going to kind of supplement what we've done in the huddle all year. Ken Kreitz of RotoWire will still join us on Thursdays at 4:35. But now we're going to hear from Stefania Bell of ESPN every Wednesday at 6:05. So you start to talk about what's our weekly guest lineup like. On Wednesday, Field Yates, Buster Olney, and Stefania Bell between the two shows. That is pretty cool. Patriots turf is a big deal. The Patriot players are upset at the playing surface. Basically, they don't feel safe out there at Foxborough, and that's not a good feeling. I want to take my time to tell all of you. A lot of you reached out to me via email. A lot of you reached out to me via Facebook and said, Brady, I just want to thank you guys for putting on the Russillo broadcast on Friday out of Red Square. A lot of you were there. A lot of you tuned in on Facebook Live. A lot of you commented, and all the feedback was positive. Ryan was great to deal with. ESPN was great to deal with. Will Kane was great to deal with. All of our listeners were great to deal with. We appreciate all of you coming out as well. And look, now to end the show, I need this. This is a reward for you guys because we did not have a show on Friday. We did not get a chance to qualify our ultimate Boston sports fan. So let's call in now. I need to take two. I need to take two people to be our ultimate Boston sports fan. I need caller 7 and caller 8. 802-655-6672. Caller 7 and 8 will qualify you to be the ultimate Boston sports fan. Get those calls in now. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
If you've got goals, GNC's got your protein. Check out all the top brands and bestsellers from Optimum and MuscleTech and get undefeated protein performance from GNC Amphway Bolic. It's GNC's number one selling protein of all time. Plus trending in-store exclusives from Ghost and Performix and taste bud busting flavors like cereal milk, fruity charms, and Tahitian vanilla. All that protein power is backed by GNC's price match guarantee. If you find a lower national brand price, GNC will beat it by a buck.